Hello, Health Investor. Welcome to another episode of the Health Investment Podcast. Today, you're going to hear from Chad Austin. In a world that's flooded with promises of instant gratification, shortcuts, quick fixes, and easy buttons, Chad helps his clients stop constantly starting over so they can improve their quality of life with long-term fitness success. Whether speaking in front of large groups or delivering live virtual workshops, attendees always walk away with a plan that they can use immediately. In the episode, Chad shares what to look for in a workout program, how to make fitness easily fit into your life, how to bust through common excuses like "I'm too busy," and more. If you're liking this podcast, I'd be so grateful if you'd write a review and share it with a friend. Enjoy the episode. Simonson, certified nutrition coach and your host of the Health Investment Podcast. If you're ready to look and feel your best without any confusion, frustration, or stress, you're in the right place. Each week, I interview experts and share no-nonsense, research-backed tips so that you can finally lose weight for good, eat healthy long-term, have the high energy you crave, and feel like a million bucks. I'm so happy you're here with me today. Don't forget to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Hi, Chad. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Health Investment Podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
As I was saying off air, I love doing episodes on fitness. I'm not a personal trainer, and so I work more with nutrition. So I love learning from people in the fitness space myself. And I also love sharing realistic approaches to fitness with my audience, because I think there's a lot of nonsense out there. There's a lot of BS and people suggesting things that are very hard to stick with in real life. And then we end up being consistent for a week or two and falling off. And I think we all know that if we want to be the healthiest possible, consistency for 2 weeks isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, that's why platforms like yours are so important to give us a chance to really make a difference and kind of sway people the right way. I mean, when our desire for change gets to its peak, as it does around the beginning of the year, we're just such easy prey for people who have promises of fast results with little or no work on our part. And it just, even the smartest person's judgment will be clouded when you're in that condition. So it gives us these kind of shows like yours. I just love going on and talking with fitness professionals like yourself. I normally will be in a brainstorming mode for a good hour after the show's over, because I'll just have been fed so much from the energy of the conversation.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And this episode will come out in a couple months, but we're recording on January 16th. So yes, right at the start of the year. When this episode comes out, maybe people will relate, because maybe they have a lot of energy right now and they're into some program that ends up being not sustainable. So this will be perfect for them to hear. Can you start off by telling us a bit about your background and specifically what led to your interest in fitness?
Yeah, actually, personal training was a second career for me. I was a PE teacher out of college for a couple of years. I was a high school coach and PE teacher. And so I thought that personal training was actually just going to kind of be a temporary stop as I found my next teaching location, and it just ended up being a better fit for me. And I've been doing it ever since. I've been doing it for about 20 years now, and I've definitely evolved a lot. It started out as just kind of sports training, because that was my background. And then it just came into helping people reach their short-term goals that they were fueled and motivated to reach, like many are at this time of year, like we said. And then it became, I became a speaker and a writer. My book series, Make Fitness a Priority, was just about me evolving as a trainer. And instead of helping people reach short-term goals that only led to temporary success, I want to make a bigger impact. I want this to be long-term. So how can I help people really make it a priority in their lives? And now I think the next step is I'm kind of figuring helping people learn how to kind of reset their fitness plan. I think, everybody falls off track in fitness from time to time. No one's immune to it because we all go through life's curveballs and unexpected changes, and that causes us to fall off track. And while we're really good at adapting to change when it comes to our family, our career, our faith, we're terrible when it comes to our health. That's always the last thing we think of. And we're doing ourselves a disservice because, you know, if fitness is really what helps us show up as the best version of ourselves for all life's ups and downs. And so that's kind of where I'm at now. I help people figure out where fitness fits in their life and help them especially do that after their life changes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such a good point. I often talk about it as seasons of life. There's different seasons, literally, in terms of winter, spring, summer, fall. But then we also go through different seasons of life. So you have a kid and you have a newborn for a while, and then you have a toddler, and then they end up going to school, and that's a different season. But then maybe a parent gets sick and you lose your job and you get a new job. I mean, there's always going to be change and different seasons. But I think with our health and fitness, like you said, we don't necessarily think we should constantly be adapting, or we don't realize there might be a season when fitness kind of falls back. And that doesn't mean it's gone forever. We can pick it up again. And so I love your message, make fitness a priority. What role does that idea of kind of seasons in life play in that message?
Well, I think the big reason it fits is that our life changes. And so, and as our life change, we have to change how fitness fits. So it's definitely something I've learned over the years, is that what you do for fitness has to fit in your life. That's something I say all the time. If it doesn't fit, it won't stay there very long. Mm. So when someone asks me, people will ask me sometimes if I'm out socially and I meet someone and they know I'm a personal trainer, and you'll get the fitness questions, but they'll ask, but what I tell them about their fitness program, or if they're looking for something, I don't tell them, I don't recruit them. I tell them, if you're looking for one, one thing you want to look out for is if the fitness program is the same for everybody, if it's, because fitness is not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So what works for someone else isn't going to guaranteed work for you. And the same way, what worked for you in the past isn't necessarily going to work for you now, because your life may be completely different. Mm-hmm. So you have to, it has to be customized to where you are in your life at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I once read that moving is one of the biggest life changes that throws people off, possibly nutrition wise, but also especially in terms of fitness, because maybe the gym you lived close to before or whatever you did isn't accessible, or it's, I know for me, even if it's a 5-minute extra drive, I mean, that could be the impediment that's preventing me from getting somewhere, which sounds stupid, but also, I think it's important to be very realistic with ourselves of, if the 5-minute extra drive is holding you back and making you drag your feet to go, then maybe that's not the thing for you anymore. Maybe finding something closer is a better option.
Yeah, it could be. It's crazy. When change, I talk about changes, how they affect us and how we have to adapt to them all the time. It could be, but I mean, it could be a big change, could be a little change, it could be a really good change, or it could be a bad change. It doesn't really matter. Or it could be that maybe it's the drive. So maybe you moved in the drive, but maybe it doesn't work right now, but maybe it's also that because of the drive, your life's more stressful now. Or it could be that maybe you always worked out after work, but now you're in a busy time of year, or your job change and your job is more stressful, and now you have no energy after work to work out anymore. And so, like, there's all these little changes that happen all the time, and we like to blame our lack of results or on, like, our lack of willpower. We don't want it bad enough anymore. We don't have quite the motivation. We need more motivation. And it could just be that we're setting ourselves up to fail because we're doing something that doesn't necessarily fit us right now, and so we have to kind of change.
Mm-hmm. I definitely used to have the mindset where whatever I did for fitness was just supposed to stick with me. And so when I would move, for example, when I went after college, when I went to New York City and I lived there for a long time, I used to have a gym at my college. And so then I thought, okay, I need to join a gym. But then I hated going to the gym in New York. It wasn't the same. It wasn't as close. And so then I realized, oh, I could get something like ClassPass, and I can bounce around to all these studios and do different classes, and I could walk to all of them. And that worked great. But then when I moved from New York to Northern California, I thought, okay, I do ClassPass now, so I have to do that here. But then it meant it wasn't walking anymore. It was driving here, and the classes were more sparse, and it was hard to find them. And so I had this realization that what worked for me in the past, just like you said, doesn't work now. Mm-hmm. And there's not anything wrong with that. It's not bad. It's just different, and I need to adapt.
Yeah, that is the big thing we have a tough time getting past when we think of. So this comes up a lot when we have a tough time getting past the I'm too busy excuse, right? So when people say I'm too busy, normally what they mean is I'm too busy to work out like I used to. But it's like their motivation for change and their motivation to get started with something is at its peak. But in their mind, they're thinking of the last time they got great results or when they're in the best shape and what they did for their workout. So what they did for their nutrition at that time, that's now the bar. And doing anything less than that is not doing enough or something they'll be ashamed of. And you have to take that way of thinking and just throw it out the window. Mm-hmm. Doing less doesn't make it less of a priority. All it right. means is it fits different in your life right now.
And doing less doesn't also mean less results, which right. I think, you know, you can do less and get more results if you're working in a way that's very strategic and using your time wisely and planning and coming up with systems. I actually do less now than I did in my 20s, and I have better results. So that to me is very cool. That like less doesn't mean less. Less could mean more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be, I mean, I definitely have had to change so many times over my life. When I first came up and was a trainer, when I thought it was going to be a temporary change, I was a brand new trainer at the gym that had like 15 trainers already. So I like didn't have very many clients yet. And I was new to the city, so I knew nobody. And I lived right behind the gym. So I worked out like 2 hours every single day and I was in great shape. But now it's like I get the best results if I just do a quick 30-minute workout and it'll be enough to feed myself for the rest of the day, give me energy. And so really that is my rest, getting that workout in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's such a great point you made, though, where most people, the bar for, because a lot of clients I have, let's say, they felt their best prior to having kids, and that was their optimal weight. And maybe they were single or married, but they'll say it was so easy because I had time and I could track calories or I could devote an hour to the gym. And then I got married and I have kids and I haven't been able to do that. So I haven't been able to get back. Like in their mind, they're thinking, I can never get back. I can never do what I used to do. Therefore, I can't do anything. And it's just the complete mindset shift, as you said, of, yeah, you're definitely like trying to get back to that is not the goal. It's coming up with a new plan.
Yeah. And I think a lot of things we have as goals and just because it's going to be the path's going to be different and it might take longer, but that doesn't mean we still can't reach those goals. But so I think sometimes we not only have the bar of what we did, but the bar of how long it took to reach our goals. And so as we lost 20 pounds in the past and then I was like, I got to go through this again, but we expect it to go as fast as it did before. And sometimes that's not realistic because it's that program won't fit in your life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it was some quick fix diet, you do lose weight pretty fast on those things. But if you're creating a more sustainable life change where you're eating real foods, you're making dinner for your family, you're not doing some kind of like meal replacement, you only eat the bars and shakes that the company sends you type of program, you probably aren't going to lose 2 or 3 pounds in a week. You might lose a half pound to a pound in a week. But like you said, that doesn't mean you're not being successful. It's just slower.
Yeah. And big picture wise, you want those results as fast as possible, and I totally get that because I'm there when I've been there before, and I'll get there again in the future. I won't lie. I know I will. I'll eventually be to where I want those results again that bad. But so I always ask people: fitness can't be your fitness program, whatever you're going to try. It has to be customized to you, right? It can't be one size fits all, like we said earlier. But the other part of that, I think you can't know when the last day is. It can't have an end in it. So like, there's exceptions to that rule, of course. I mean, you might be thinking, okay, well, I've done 30 day programs or I've done, you know, a 30 day challenge before and I got great results. I lost lots of weight. I'm like, I would ask you how fast did those results leave you? What happened after that 30 days was over? So you might have got those great results, and that might have been a great pain relief for you, because you felt so much better and got rid of that. You reached that goal that you had so much motivation for. But if it only lasted temporarily, I think we're quick to forget about that. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you always have to know what's next. So right. Like a 30-day program or a 30-day challenge, a 12-week program, that can always be fine. As long as you eventually, before it's over, you have to ask yourself what's next. Because mm-hmm. if you don't ask yourself that question, the answer is nothing. It's already made for you that it's nothing. And you're just going to go back to your old ways. So that's one thing I realized early on in my training career is, like, everyone comes to a personal trainer fueled by short-term motivation. There's mm-hmm. something coming up that they have results for. And any motivation is awesome. You have to lean into it, but eventually you have to look past it. What's next? And it doesn't mean I got to keep working out like a triathlete if that's what I did to reach the goal. But what's next? You know, uh-huh. what's next season look like? Am I maintaining? Am I trying to do more? Or what does it look like now? But you have uh-huh. to ask and answer that question for yourself.
I want to take a quick break from the episode to tell you about a company I've been impressed by for years. Thrive Market is an online shopping platform that offers thousands of products at 25 to 50% off retail prices. For just $60 a year, you get access to a wide variety of premium pantry staples, supplements, beauty products, and home goods at unbeatable prices. To put things in perspective, I save about $20 to $30 per shipment, which means my annual membership fee pays for itself after just two orders. My favorite part about Thrive Market is that for every paid membership, they donate a membership to a low-income family, veteran, or teacher. So not only do you save money on your purchases, but you also make healthy products accessible to everyone. To read my full Thrive Market review, steal my shopping list of over 150 items, and save additional money on your first order, visit thehealthinvestment.com/Thrive Market or just click through the link in the show notes. Now, back to the episode.
I think that's such a good point. When starting a fitness routine, a new nutrition plan, just right before you pay for the thing or start the thing, thinking, what is my exit strategy? What will I be able to sustain this? Are there pieces of it that I'll learn a lot from and I'll be able to keep up with those? Or, as I've worked with so many clients, if it is some type of meal and shake replacement program, the what's next question is really tough because you're not getting some of the education you need throughout that program in order to sustain the success long term. So once you stop eating the shakes or drinking the shakes and eating the bars, the what's next question is usually, well, I go back to the way I was eating before. And that's never successful.
Right, right. There's a lot of weight loss programs and different programs out there that, since I've been a trainer, they've really adapted to that problem you just said. Like, I remember when I first became a trainer, I think weight loss for one is one that's Weight Watchers. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers. Yeah. They've actually kind of adapted and come a long way. But I remember when I first became a trainer, that was like one of the biggest jokes for weight loss, because I mean it was just about their point system, but I mean, you could have all your point system come from candy bars at the time. I mean, it wasn't really made to be a nutrition thing. But now they I know are one program I've heard a lot about recently where they've really adapted to that loophole and come along with it. But that is part of it. Is this going to be sustainable? Is this teaching me something where I can keep it up long term? Is this a long term plan that will stick with me, or is this a short term plan to get me temporary results?
Mm-hmm. I love how you said fitness needs to fit, and the word fit is in fitness. I love little memory things like that where I will always think about that now with the word fitness, of like, this needs to fit into your life. When you say the word fitness, what does that mean? Is that daily movement, like steps? Is it strength training? Is it cardio? Is it all of them combined? Is one more important than the other? How do you kind of approach this from a, here's the baseline that everybody should kind of be working towards?
I think that is one question, that what is fitness to you? That's something that everybody has their own answer on. You know, I think when I first became a personal trainer, it took me a long time. I've luckily got the help a lot of my family, friends, and close people in my life, and train them and help them make fitness an important part of their life. But my dad was probably the most resistant. It took him the longest to jump on board. But part of the reason was when he thought of personal training, for some reason, he thought of his vision was bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And so he thought personal training meant bodybuilding. And for him, once he realized that's not what it means for him at all. For him, it means, you know, being able to get his range of motion back, being able to have all his mobility and move without pain. And so that's where it is for a lot of people. It could be that fitness means I'm going to be able to go up and down the stairs without pain. It means I want to be able to play with my kids on the ground or keep up with them. Or it means I want to be able to run regularly because I love running. Or maybe it means I want to be able to, you know, be the person in the pictures with my friends at the beach instead of the person taking the picture because I don't like how I look. And so what does fitness mean to you? Or maybe it just means fitness, like for me, I definitely became it was more about external motivation at the beginning, but for now, and this point in my life, it's definitely more about internal. How do I handle life? You know, my anxiety, my stress, my energy, my confidence, all that I associate so much more with my workout and nutrition these days than I do anything else. And so that's a lot of what fitness means to me.
Right.
But no, I think it's an answer is different for everybody.
And such a worthwhile question to ask. Tune out what other people are answering or saying you should answer on social media and really just ask yourself that and bullet point, what does it mean to you? I do think, like you, for me, it used to be very externally motivated of kind of what do I look like? How toned am I? How is this helping me with my weight goal? And once I kind of put weight loss and or maintenance in a different bucket than fitness. And I started just thinking, I go for walks to help with my mental health and to help me sleep better at night. I lift weights so that I feel really strong. I do cardio because I love that feeling of kind of like the endorphin rush when I'm done. And I just completely separated it from the physicality in a sense, in terms of weight. That was the huge game changer for me of, thinking of all the other benefits of it besides just I exercise to get smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think it's a real win in any of my clients' life when they really realize that how important fitness really is. And it's not just about how I look or how my clothes fit. I mean, those kind of things. But for me, I think it probably took 15 years into being a trainer before I realized, but now, I mean, I really do believe that fitness is the vehicle that makes everything in life better. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, you know, when I started my book series, it started as a poll question where I asked as many people as I could, what are your top priorities in life? And I realized right away for people's answers that they put away, that they don't think about fitness because their answers were family, career, and faith. But nobody said, hardly anyone ever said had health or fitness when I asked that question. And I realized that, you know, when you don't think of fitness the right way, you do yourself a disservice. Because I know when I'm taking good care of myself and when I do what I think fitness means of just exercising and eating healthy, I'm a better husband, I'm a better son, I'm a better friend to everyone in my life. I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I've got more confidence. I'm just a better person. But the flip side of that, I'm the worst version of myself when I don't take good care of myself and fitness is not a part of my life. And so that's the realization that I'm always so happy to see people make is how important fitness needs to be just to help you kind of go through the ups and downs of life.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting. We put so much of our time and money and energy into investments and thinking about retirement and setting ourselves up for success. But if you don't have your fitness, then none of that really matters. I mean, if you can't do the travel you want to do, or you can't get up and off, up and down from the floor with your grandkids and be very mobile, it's, you know, those last 30, 40 years of life look very different than you're hoping they will. So really, I think going along, I like to think of the health investment, you know, the small things we're doing today are going to pay off and we're going to reap the rewards long term, just like we will if we're investing money. But you kind of have to have both hand in hand. You can't just invest money and ignore the fitness part, because then who cares how much money you have if you're not healthy enough to enjoy it.
I can't wait to have my wife listen to this whenever it's out. Cause you know, I think I told you off air before we started that she's a financial planner, but you'd think a financial planner and a personal trainer that, you know, our lives are so different, but our fields are so different. But as we have got to know each other over the long time we've been together, we realize so much of our language for our business is the same. I mean, it's so much about behavioral change was so much the same about it was just the words investment and health investment. I just love that they're together because they are. It's a lot of the same thing.
A lot of the same thing. Message. Yeah. Really cool analogies with finance and health and mm-hmm. the small things you do today. Compound interest, reaping the rewards long term. I think it's very cool. And it's, I think, also helpful. Like you said, people are thinking about their career or their family, and they're doing things and adapting in other areas of their life. But for fitness and nutrition, it's tougher. And so if you apply what you're doing in other areas of your life to your fitness and health journey, that can be a good way to do it. Because it's like, oh, I already have these skills in my role as a parent. Let me now apply them to my fitness routine.
Yeah, it definitely it works for all those areas. You get in what you get in what you put in. You get out of it what you put into it. Kind of, I think all there's so many analogies you can use with that just fit perfectly.
I know you have said that there are no magic tricks to get immediate results, and you were kind of talking about that a bit here. But is there a trick to helping someone get started? If someone's listening to this and they're thinking, "Yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying," but the getting started is so hard for me.
Yeah. So there's a resource I want to give all the audience. And so the Fitness Pivot is my app. And so you can find it on the Google or the app stores, the Fitness Pivot. But on there's a lot of free resources that I have out there for people. But I think anytime someone's getting started, like you said, if I'm trying to get started, you should start by hitting the fitness reset button. And so I have a mini course on there that's free that just has that. It's very, very simple. It requires you answering two questions. So I'll give you these two questions right now. The first one is, how does fitness fit in my life right now? Okay. And so the keywords being the last two words, right now. How does it fit right now? Not how it fit before, or not how it fit for somebody else, but how does it fit for you right now? There's no wrong answer. The only way you can answer it wrong is to not be honest with yourself. And so how does it fit right now? And then the second question is, how much accountability do I need right now to be successful? So I don't think that, so accountability, it comes in all shapes and sizes. And in my account, everybody's motivation comes and goes. There's different, our motivation will fluctuate throughout the course of the year, right? And so I have a personal trainer. I've had my own personal trainer for a decade. And so and it's a very good tool for me. But there are times when I am in a really good workout zone and I can do it myself. I mean, I don't need her there as much. I love my workouts. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling empowered. I can't wait for the next one. And there are other times when if she's not there standing there watching me, I won't do it. Mm-hmm. And then there's everything in between. And so our accountability could be you have a trainer, could mean you have a workout partner, could mean you have a gym you go to that all your friends also go to, could mean there's a workout piece of equipment you have at home and you do it during when you watch this certain show. Or it could mean whatever it means for you. But, you know, I don't think that the answer basically is, what do I need to make sure I follow through with what I said I was going to do? And so I definitely believe in setting yourself up for success. And that is what I think holding yourself accountable means and having that accountability in your life means. It's like, what do I need to make sure I do this? And so I think the more important something is to you, the more accountability you should have.
Interesting.
But the Fitness Pivot, that's where you can find that.
Great. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. That's fantastic. I even find for me, accountability comes in the form of my Google Calendar. And so I'll put in there, it sounds so stupid. And I tell my clients this, movement is not the thing that comes easiest to me. I'm pretty good with sleep. I'm pretty good with managing my stress. I've gotten the nutrition thing dialed in. My mindset's in the right place. The movement part is, if you were to look at all those pillars, the toughest. And so I really have to be sure that I hold myself accountable. So what I have done is I have a recurring calendar event every single day, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. that says walk, which seems stupid, but it's from 6 to 6:45. And then two times a week, I have one that says strength training. And they're just in there later in the day. And so when I look at my week, I move them to where they'll fit. So I know on weekends, I usually get more steps. It's not an issue, but I work from home Monday through Friday. If I don't plan for it and put an event in my calendar, and I just think, oh yeah, I have to go for a walk today, it's not happening. It's absolutely not happening. Yeah. I have to like see it in there. I have to see it coming up. I have to think, okay, I'm going to finish this call, then I'm going to go for my walk. There's something about scheduling it that works for me. And again, it sounds so stupid because if you kind of remove that barrier of, oh, I shouldn't have to do this, right? Like I shouldn't have to schedule it in there. I should just do it. It's like, maybe that's true, but I have to do that. So that's what I do because otherwise it's not happening.
Outside of hosting this podcast, I work as a nutrition coach specializing in evidence-based sustainable weight loss. If you're ready to stop yo-yo dieting and start living a healthy, active lifestyle you're proud of, I'd love to work with you in one of my programs. Unlike restrictive, one-size-fits-all diets that only provide short-term results, I help you adopt science-backed nutrition and lifestyle habits that work for your unique likes, dislikes, and time constraints so you can lose weight permanently, have high energy throughout the day, feel completely in control of cravings, and stay consistent long-term. To learn more, visit thehealthinvestment.com or follow me on Instagram and TikTok at The Health Investment.
I think that's great. And I can relate to that so much. I do the best when I just have little reminders in there. I definitely learned over time that I have to do my workout at the first half of the day or it's not going to happen because that's where my energy is and I'll have all day to. And it's weird because before I used to work out in the evening and that was fine for me then. It's like I couldn't do it in the morning and it's totally switched. But some of the things I've done in the past, like I've done 75 hard. And so a lot of people have mixed feelings on that. But that worked great for me because I think it's the accountability of the app that you checked off like a checklist every day. And it also gave you reminders like, have you done this yet kind of thing. And those things work great for me. And so there's really no wrong answer, but it's about finding what works for you and what helps you be successful. And so I always tell people this time of year when they go through this, it's like, you know, the only way to answer those two questions wrong is to not be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. But then even if you go through this and you still fail, it doesn't matter. But for one, you know, a secret from a personal trainer, everybody fails. Everybody, that's part of the journey. You're not going to be perfect. And fitness is not about you being perfect. It's about you getting consistent, just figuring out how it fits in your life. And so the first time you fail or the first time you mess up on something, just dust yourself off how you're going to come back and do better next time. It's what you do next that counts.
I also find for myself that when I put two strength training events in my calendar, I usually will end up doing three. Like three is my actual goal. But if I put three, the mentality around it is really strange for me. It's like, I'll see two coming up. It's like, well, I have to do one on Friday and one on Sunday. And then it'll feel daunting because I'll see both in there. It's something about that little mental hiccup. But if I see two during the weekdays, and then I just kind of know I'm going to do one on the weekend, that works. It's so much of this is self-awareness, I feel, of like, how does your brain work? Like you said, 75 works for you. Somebody else could say, I hated it. It didn't work for me. And nobody's right. It's just, you're different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not one size fits all, everybody. It's whatever works best for you. And then that's the way you should lean into. If it worked for you, doesn't mean it's going to work for somebody else. And also, if it worked for you in the past, doesn't mean it's going to work for you now. But maybe it will. But finding what works for you, that's how you're successful.
You mentioned the I'm too busy excuse. And so you said that usually means I'm too busy to do what I was doing in the past. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. What about somebody who says I'm too tired?
I in my book, my first book I came up with in 2016, Make Fitness a Priority, How to Win the Fight Against Your Excuses, it was called. But I had a whole chapter that was like my top 10 favorite excuses that I got from people over the years. And it's just basically just overcoming everyone. So it's just like, I'm too busy, I'm too bored, I'm too tired, I'm too old, whatever it is that I came up with. But just know that, I'm an avid obstacle racer. I kind of fell in love with that once I really became a trainer and became a good trainer. But I think it's because, you know, we overcome an excuse is really just an obstacle we haven't overcome yet. And that's the way I always think of it. And it's just like, you can take any sentence that you have the word obstacle in, you could replace it with excuse. It's the same sentence. Mm-hmm. But it works very well. Just try it. It's just exact same meaning, but I'm too tired. And so it could be the biggest thing I've found with I'm too tired. It could be, especially if you're trying to do something that in the past you did fine, but now it's like you don't have any energy. There's a reason you don't have any energy. So, and the biggest one for me is that if I always train someone at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, so they trained after work and that was always doing their best time, but now all of a sudden they have no energy. What's changed? Is your job different now? Did your job change, or is your job more stressful for one reason or another? There may be something in your life that has changed. And so maybe it's not that you don't have enough willpower, or you need to make yourself have more energy. It could be that you're trying to work out when you don't have any energy. And mm-hmm. So you need to change, you need to set yourself up for success better. And I would first ask myself, if the problem is I'm always too tired, I would ask, when are you not tired? And so are you trying to work out when you don't have the energy? And because you've done that in the past, maybe your life is different now. And now that's not the case anymore. Now, when you have more energy, is a different time of day. And so that'd be the first way I would address it with a client is, are we trying to work out during a time when you don't really have much energy and we're just trying to force it? Then maybe we need to think about that. And there could be that you have more energy at a different time of day and you'd get a way better workout then.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're just trying to do something you hate and you have no energy because you don't want to do it. And so you need to try to do something else.
That's a really good point. Yeah. What about if somebody says, I feel really motivated for a couple of weeks, but then I lose motivation?
A lot of times that means that it's another way of saying I'm too bored. So it could be that are you doing the exact same thing every time? Is that part of the reason? And so personal training, one way that for Priority Fitness, where I train and all the trainers I train with, we love variables. And so we're always trying to, so clients that work out with us, they would probably, one of the ways they would describe us is they feel like they never do the same thing. They never do the same workout. It's always a different workout, but really it is, we just change it. And so it's like, maybe you're still doing a barbell curl you're still doing a bicep curl, but maybe this time it's a barbell. Last time it was a dumbbell. The time before that was a cable. The time before that was a resistance band. Or this time it's with the squat or with the lunge. And so it's always changing just a little bit. And so it could be, if you're trying to do the exact same program every single time, and eventually not only your body adapts to it, so it's not the same workout for your body, but you're going to just eventually, it's just going to get monotonous and it's going to get boring. And so there's a fit principle. So fit's going to come back up again, but there's two T's. It's frequency, intensity, type, time. So this frequency, intensity, type, time, those four things, change them. Okay. So the frequency, how often do you do your workout? And intensity, how hard is it? So are you doing a really long workout, a really short workout? Maybe change it, or do intervals or something like that. Type, what are you doing for your workout? Change that. Time. And so this is what I do if someone hits a plateau and they're not really getting results anymore. It could be that you're just adapted to it. You're doing the same thing way too much. But that often happens when someone's bored and they're just not excited about their workouts anymore. It could be they just need to change something up. You've been doing the exact same thing for way too long. And so you're just tired of it. It's like imagine watching the same show every single day, 3 days a week, and never changing it. Eventually you wouldn't want to watch the show anymore, right? And right. So just change what you're doing. And watch something else.
Yeah. Speaking of shows, do you find it is helpful for people if they attach a show they really love and they say, I'm going to watch this when I work out, or a podcast, like I'm going to listen to this podcast when I'm moving? Is that a helpful strategy?
Oh, I think it could be. Yeah. I mean, and just combining two things you love. If you've liked, I used to do that all the time with like the Sunday night football. So football season's come. So I'm a huge football fan, Chiefs fan, being here in Kansas City. But you burn like a calorie a minute when you sit. And so if I'm going to be sitting watching football all day long on Sunday, then I didn't really have a very high calorie burning day that day. And so one way I could do it is I could watch my game, but then if I wanted to watch another game, I could do it while I'm on the treadmill or the rower or something like that. Or I could listen to it on my phone and go for a jog, or I could, you know, listen to it on my phone while I'm being active around the house or doing yard work. You know, that's one way of combining it. But yeah, if you have a favorite show, that's one thing. If you're having a tough time being motivated, and so that could piggyback on the last question. One thing I've done for motivation before is I've gotten a new playlist. And so I change music's a big motivator for me, but I get a brand new playlist. And the only time I can listen to that playlist is when I work out. I would do that with your podcast. So if you have a favorite podcast that's an hour long, the only time you can listen to that podcast or watch that podcast is when you work out. Mm-hmm. And so and maybe it'd be kind of turning your least favorite student into your favorite one by tricking yourself.
Yeah. No, I love that. There was a time when I got really bored with going for these walks that I schedule every day. And I couldn't figure out, I was like, wow, you know, like a month ago, I didn't dread it as much as I'm dreading it right now. So I asked questions. I didn't just say, I hate this, I'm going to just push through. And what I realized is I was listening to podcasts I had gotten bored with, and I didn't like any of them anymore. So I just deleted them all, found new podcasts. And I lean into just kind of like guilty pleasure podcasts. I used to think, oh, you know, I go for a walk, I should listen to something educational and I should be learning. And now I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to listen to stupid celebrity, whatever. And I look so forward to the walks at the end of the day, because it's like I check out, it's relaxing, it's enjoyable. I'm not feeling like I'm still doing work by like educating myself. And that's fine. You know, just save that for your walks. And now I don't even think as much about the walk. I just think, oh, I'm so excited to, I have an hour now at the end of the day, I'm going to go listen to this podcast. And I just happen to be walking at the same time.
Yeah. That's combining two things. So it may be like, especially if you're self-employed like me, and the, some of the stuff I want to watch, that would be the kind of stuff I'd be watching if I'm procrastinating and putting off doing my work.
Right.
So now
exactly.
I get to watch that stuff. I'm like ashamed I watched because I didn't do anything done. And now I get to watch it while I work out.
Yeah. It's like, I'm allowed to listen to this as much as I want, as long as I'm moving while I'm doing it.
Yeah,
and
I'm no longer
guilt.
Doing anything wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing something right. Exactly. What if somebody is feeling a barrier to entry to fitness because they're worried about getting injured?
Worried about getting injured or worried about, there's a lot of reasons why it's hard to get started. We used to have a sign in our gym, like the heaviest weight in the gym is the front door. So sometimes just taking that first step to get started is the hardest part. It goes along with my thing of being an athlete and in the past, that's one thing we always were ingrained into us. You can't worry about getting hurt. And so as a sports person, I have a pet peeve where I don't like it when they get mad at players for playing in something, whether it be preseason or a game that doesn't matter, saying they shouldn't play, they're going to get hurt. I mean, you can't worry about getting hurt. You could get hurt at any moment.
Yeah, crossing the street. Yeah.
Right. And so that's not part of the mentality. But I mean, I get that. And so if you're worried about getting injured, then maybe change what you're starting with. And so if getting started is kind of a little bit making you a little bit nervous because you're getting injured, then maybe you need to scale down just a little bit and get started with something a little less intimidating and then try to scale back up. So like every exercise can get easier, it can get harder. So like there's you can regress or progress with anything. And just because you make something a little bit easier, regress something a little bit, doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you can't do it yet. And so but sometimes just scaling down just a little bit is going to build your confidence, and then you can take off from there.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the final questions I ask each of my guests is, in your opinion, what does it mean to make the health investment?
What does it mean to make the health investment? It's like, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but yeah, I love the the health and investment together in your podcast. It's just a great name. But like what I say, to invest in the health investment is to invest in yourself. Then put an investment, put a deposit in to you being the best version of yourself. No matter what you're going through, whether it be good or bad, or big or small, whatever life change it is that maybe causes you to fall off track from time to time, you're not going to be able to show up as the best version of yourself without investing in yourself and investing in your health. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that is what it means to me. And so I have a phrase what I do with the clients. I don't want to help people just reach their short-term goals that they came to me with. I want to make a way bigger impact in that. So a phrase that I use is a fitness fisherman. I want to help all of my clients become fitness fishermen, knowing that I'm not going to be here forever with them, but I want my impact to last longer. And so, you know, you've heard the phrase, if you give someone a fish, you feed them for a day. If you teach someone to fish, you feed them for the rest of their life. So I think being a fitness fisherman, that is understanding how no matter what life is throwing at me, I'm understanding how to adapt and keep fitness a part of my life so I can keep showing up as the best version of myself.
I love that. What a cool way to think about it. Also something you said, whether you're going through good or bad life changes, fitness has a place. I would even argue if there's something difficult happening in your life, that's probably when you need it most in terms of stress relief and mental health. But that's often when it falls by the wayside. And so I know for myself, that's hard to remember. It's maybe tougher to get out there and to do it if something really challenging is happening in life, but that's usually when I reap the most rewards.
Yeah, that's why shows like this are so important, because I mean, it truly is the last thing that people think about when something major happens in their life or when they get a unexpected curveball. They're gonna address their family, they're gonna address their career, they're gonna address their faith, they're gonna address things like that, but they're gonna overlook that the most important one for them to show up as their best self is their health. Mm-hmm. How is health changing? How can I keep fitness a part of my life going through this so that I can still show up and get through this as the best version of myself?
Right. Where can listeners follow and find you?
The Fitness Pivot. That app is the first place I like to direct people to. And you can go from that. You can see me makefitnessapriority.com. I have some resources on there. And Make Fitness Priority, that's where you can find me on all social media too.
Oh, great. Well, as I said, I will link to all of those things in the show notes so they're easily clickable. Thank you so much, Chad. This was a fantastic conversation. I think, again, if in a couple months, so I don't know when this will come out, but a couple months from January 16th, I'm sure there will be some people who have hit that kind of slump, and hopefully listening to this will be rejuvenating. And I think what I'm taking away is the priority piece of it. There's life changes. It's got to fit no matter what change in life. Maybe it's a morning workout instead of an afternoon. Maybe it's shorter. Maybe it's a different type of workout. I mean, it's got to kind of evolve with you, your fitness approach.
Mm-hmm. Fitness has got to fit in your life if it's going to stick. And yep.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your time and your wisdom. And I look forward to sharing this episode and connecting with you off air.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's all for today. Thanks again for joining me here on the Health Investment Podcast. I'm so grateful for each and every one of my listeners. On your way out, remember to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. See you next week. All content in this podcast was created for general informational purposes only by a non-physician. None of the content should serve as a substitute for professional medical advice, treatment, or diagnosis. Always consult a qualified health provider with any questions regarding a medical condition and before making changes to your diet, lifestyle, and/or exercise programs. Do not disregard any professional medical advice you have received or postpone seeking such advice because of something you heard on this podcast.